Great night tonight. Every night getting in the Word's a great night. But a great night tonight. We're going to finish the book of Ruth tonight, God willing. That's the plan. And if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ruth chapter 3. We're going to do Ruth 3 and 4. And then we're going to have communion after that, which is, again, just a sweet time. Sweet time in the Word spiritually, then a sweet time breaking bread together, quite physically, remembering the Lord's body and blood. And then, depending on how much time we have left, maybe a little bit of afterglow. We may not have as much afterglow time tonight because I really want to do Ruth 3 and 4 and finish that tonight, but I'm hoping we'll have some at the end. But just some really good stuff. Let's pray and ask God to really, again, break open His Word to us tonight and feed us. Lord, we pray You would break open Your Word to us tonight. And how appropriate, looking at the book of Ruth, as Naomi and Ruth, Lord, come back after a season of desert and dryness and famine and death and disappointment to a land of hope. And Lord, the grains waving in the wind as they come back at the barley harvest and then lead all the way into the wheat harvest. And that whole picture of coming back to the house of bread and, Lord, feasting on You and being restored and seeing all that You do in this, Lord. Just, again, amazing picture You give us in the book of Ruth. So help us to see, Lord, the literal account of Ruth and just the beauty of this love story. But, Lord, more than that, the picture You're giving us of You to Israel. And You to Your bride, the church, and bringing us together as one, and all that goes with this, Lord, and just worshiping and loving You. So God, pour out Your Spirit, minister to Your flock tonight, and You be our teacher, Lord. You feed us, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If you remember from last week, we started looking at Ruth, and an amazing story. Ruth, you couldn't find a better love story than Ruth. It's just beautiful. And Hollywood couldn't write anything this beautiful. And just the way that it all came together historically and every other way, amazing story. But also the picture it is of Jesus Christ to Israel and to the church. And remember what happened in Ruth, just for a recap real quickly of those of you that missed last week. Remember we saw Naomi, her husband and her sons leave Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, and go down into Moab, the area of Moab, which again, there was some food down there, and so they left. They went down there and spent some time. During that time, while Naomi's down there, her husband dies. Her two sons die. The sons have married these two Moabitess ladies. And then Ruth comes back. Remember, Naomi hears that there's bread, that God has blessed the land again. So now in her sorrow and her bitterness, feeling that God has abandoned her, that God has forgotten her, and now her husband's dead, her kids are dead, she now goes back to Israel. She invites both the daughters to come back, Orpah and Ruth, but Orpah stays back, remember, with her people there in Moab. And then Ruth goes on back and says, you know what, let nothing but death separate us. Wherever you go, I'll go, and your house will be my house. And that whole beautiful statement by Ruth, it's oftentimes used in weddings. Because of the beauty it is of that love and that connection between two people. And so they go back, they find that the land is full of bread again, the barley's growing, they go back at the barley harvest, and we see this whole thing where they connect up with getting back again in the land and going back, and remember Ruth goes and she gets on Boaz's land and begins to glean the sheaves that are dropped, and Boaz is throwing extra things out for this, you know, cute young girl that's there on his property. And the whole story, this love story, again, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the tape and catch up with us. But now we take up in chapter 3, and before we get into that again, I want to remind you of the whole picture that God's painting here. It's really amazing when you see what God is doing here, and we're going to see more of it develop tonight in chapters 3 and 4, but again, as they leave and they go down into Moab, leaving the house of bread before they're brought back, if you will. Remember, they go in that land, and Naomi, her husband, dies. And Naomi is a picture, if you remember, of the nation of Israel. She represents the Jewish people. And she goes down there, and her husband dies, and her sons die while she's down there. Well, again, remember, when Israel walked away from the Lord during these last 2,000 years of wilderness, they were, in essence, dead to the Lord. You know, they had rejected their Messiah. They're out in the wilderness. They've been cut off from God, so to speak. And there's this whole picture of the Jewish nation separate from God, but not forgotten. Separate, but not forgotten until the time they come back. And then we see during that time, death and destruction. As they have left the place that God planted them and that connection to God and that house of bread. And again, as we've seen over the last 2,000 years, look what's happened to the nation of Israel. As they've gone into that Moabitess and Moabite wilderness. They've seen the death of husbands, the death of sons, daughters, travesty upon the nation of Israel and the Jew, all because they left the place where God had them and they rejected their Messiah. And there's a whole picture here, the Holy Spirit's painting of what happened to the nation, how God's going to restore them. But then we see the redemption begin. And that is Ruth comes along, this Gentile. Okay, she's a Gentile Moabitess, not a part of the Jewish family, but she clings to Naomi. And we see this whole picture of this Gentile bride clinging to the Jewish Naomi. And they come back to the house of bread, back to this place where Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer, remember a goel or a kinsman redeemer, it was someone that could buy you back when you'd been sold. It was someone that could, they would use their own finances, their own resources, if you will, to buy you back. And it had to be somebody that was near kin, and it had to be somebody that was blood, that through blood you were connected. And remember, we see now the Gentile bride, Ruth, coming back with Naomi. And what is the connection to Boaz? Boaz represents Jesus. Jesus, by his blood now, is the kinsman redeemer of the Jew and the Gentile. And this is where it really gets so cool. Not only does she come back now to be reunited, if you will, back to the nation where she had fallen away, the Jewish people coming back after 2,000 years back into the land, but notice who it was that led her back to her Boaz, her redeemer of her family. It was a Gentile bride by the name of Ruth. Isn't that amazing? Even as today, here's what's happening. God is using the church, the Gentile bride of Christ, to now be a blessing to the nation of Israel, and through that blessing, bringing the Jews back to their Boaz, Jesus Christ, where God will once again pour out his Spirit and revive and reconnect the nation of Israel through the Gentile bride back to the Lord. Is that awesome or what? And I love it when you see Ruth going out there, the Gentile bride-to-be. She's blessing the nation of Israel. She's blessing Naomi. She goes, and Boaz, this kinsman redeemer, this blood-bought redeemer, now gives her all this wheat, all this food. He just fills up her apron. She goes back, and you couldn't have gathered that much in a week, much less a day. And she dumps it out at the feet of Naomi, that representative of the Jewish people. She says, "Where have you been gleaning? It's Boaz, my redeemer." Even as we today, the church, say to the Jews, Jesus loves you, although you rejected him, and although you feel you've been in the desert for 2,000 years and your husband has died and your family's died and all the tragedies that have happened, God is using a Gentile bride to show you that he loves you and to bring you back to your Boaz, back to Jesus, back to the land of bread. And we, as God's Gentile bride, are now going to bring you grain and food and bless you because we love you and we're on our one big family, Jew and Gentile together. Wait, is that amazing? We hadn't even started. I love the book of Ruth. It is amazing, it is powerful, and it is exciting to see what's happening and what God has done. And again, that's where we now come up and take up here in chapter 3 of Ruth. And remember where we left off? Again, she had said, "Hey, he's noticed me. He wants me to come glean in the field. And he told me to stay by his young man." But no, don't stay by his young man. Stay by his young women, which really he did say to stay by the young women. And so this whole thing starts with her making sure that, okay, do this thing. You know, let's do this the right way. And let's watch him now buy us back and redeem us and restore us and all this stuff and reunite us together. And it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?'" Again, remember, women couldn't work in that day other than going out in the fields to glean leftovers. Or if you inherited some property, you could sell it and buy something else, but you didn't really work in the regular workforce. So what she's saying is, "Ruth, you know what? I need to help you find a way to supply for yourself. I'm getting older and you need to be able to supply, so I need to find you a husband." Basically, so this is the matchmaker. This is, you know, the good Jewish mom here looking out for her new daughter, if you will, in marriage. And it says, "Boaz, whose young women were with you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." So this plot and this plan is now being hatched in all this. "Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, get dolled up." That would be a modern day translation. And anoint yourself, put on some perfume, look good, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Now, this is weird if you don't understand culture, all right? What's she doing? Basically, what she's doing is she's letting him know, that was a way you would let someone know, "I want you to be my covering. I am uncovered. I need a husband to cover me. And I'm letting you know that I'm available. You can say no, but I'm letting you know that I'm available and I need a covering. That would be the cultural picture of uncovering his feet, so to speak, while he's there. He would have gotten that imagery. He would have known what it was because there was a whole imagery of the wife being covered by the husband. So he would have gotten the imagery she was using. Naomi knew this, and Naomi was instructing her what to do. Again, even as, like, you know, we have to understand the Old Testament, we have to understand the Jewish culture and the Jewish history to be the full bride we need to be for Christ. Naomi was instructing because she was the first one there that was joined to the Lord before there was that separation, and now coming back to so she's instructing Ruth as to what to do and how to walk with God the right way, so to speak. She uncovers his feet, but it would do something else. Have you ever had your foot come out from under the cover in the middle of the night and it get cold? What happens? You wake up. So two things are happening here. She's letting him know when he wakes up and sees his feet are uncovered, hey, I need a covering. And I'm letting you know that I'm available, you know, if you want, if you would choose to be that covering. But number two, she wanted him to wake up. I mean, it wouldn't do any good if he just slept all night and didn't know she was there, right? That would be kind of a fail, so, you know, so to speak. But so she goes to do this. She says, you go do that and lie down. And they notice this. It shall be when he lies down, you'll notice the place where he lies. You should go and uncover his feet, lie down. And then he will tell you what you should do, because she knew that Boaz would get this. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So very obedient. Daughter-in-law, following Naomi's lead. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Again, they would sleep in the fields during the harvest time. It was very warm and they would protect their grains and just sleep there and work. She came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened at midnight that the man was startled. See, again, he slept for a while. He wakes up, he's startled, probably his feet getting cold. And he turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative. That's the same as saying, look, I understand your culture. It's been taught to me now. And I realize that if someone dies, then a family member remarries that person to raise up a name. What you would do is if a family member died, the nearest of kin would marry that woman to raise up a child that would be renamed the family member that died. So you'd carry on the family name. So she's saying, we need to have a child to carry on the family name of Naomi, the husband that died, the sons that died. And so basically, I'm letting you know that I'm available to do that. And so I'm Ruth, and I'm asking basically, would you be responsible to do that? Now, again, you can see his excitement here. Remember, Boaz is an older man. We don't know a lot about Boaz as far as any type of relationship before this. Maybe never married, maybe a wife that died. It doesn't tell us. But again, here's this young, beautiful girl. And again, we know she's beautiful because all the warnings to stay away from the young man, the fact that he was so excited about the fact that she would ask him this. Notice he says to her, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after the young man, whether rich or poor. In other words, Ruth, you're so honorable. You didn't care to find the young hunk, which you could have gotten because you're a beautiful young girl. You came for the older guy because you were concerned about Naomi's family and carrying on the family name and making sure that your mother-in-law was taken care of. You've done a very noble and honorable thing. And I don't think that Boaz was saying necessarily, I know I'm not good looking and you chose me, but I think Boaz was saying, I realize that I'm older. I'm not like typically a girl your age would not be with a guy this old. And so I'm not going to be what a young man would be for you as far as living the whole life as long and all these things that go with that. But you've done the honorable and the right thing. Plus, I think he's just excited. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. It's like, you're beautiful and I can't believe this is happening. I think there's probably some of that going on here as well. But isn't this neat to me? I love this because notice this. Where was it that the bride was recognized and taken to be the one for the husband? At the feet of Boaz. Isn't that beautiful? It's at the feet of Jesus, where God recognizes our love for him. It's at the feet of Jesus where we say to the Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. Take me under your wing. I want to be married to you. You're my spiritual husband, and I want to belong to you. And this whole beautiful picture of finding that intimacy with Jesus at his feet, this whole picture of prayer, this whole picture of love and submission to the Lord here, it's beautiful. And look how excited the Lord is. You know, he didn't force her to. Here's another thing. Notice this. Boaz didn't force her. You have to marry me. I'm your next of kinsman. And whether you like it or not, you have to marry me. I'm forcing you to. He didn't do that, did he? No, he waited. He said, Ruth, I want you to choose. I'm your near kinsman. And I'm the one that will carry on the family name. And I'm the one to bring you in. But the choice is yours. And now we see Ruth going, you know what? I'll accept. I belong to you. Take me under your wing. And this whole, again, this whole beautiful picture of salvation and the bride and the at the feet of Jesus being, that's where that connection is made to the Lord and this whole love story, so to speak. He says, now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman. You've got a reputation that's really good, Ruth. You know, it's interesting to see his love for her and the fact that he loves her because she wasn't a Jew. She was a Jew by marriage. She was an Israeli by marriage. Ah, but neither was Boaz. Boaz's mother was Rahab the harlot of Jericho. He was a Jerichite. And this Jerichite, whose mother was a prostitute, and by the grace of God had been saved and said, son, you've got to hear about the God of Israel that I've met. He's an amazing God. And your mother did all these things that were horrible, but she's forgiven. And now we're a part of his family. And look how God accepts the foreigner. Here comes Ruth, another foreigner and a cute one. I know what it's like, Ruth. I've been a foreigner as well. My family is riddled with sin. My mom was a prostitute. I know you came out of Moabite and all the different gods and all that, but if the God of Israel will take me in and redeem me and let me marry into the family where I can now be your kinsman redeemer, he'll take you in too. Isn't this beautiful? So I don't know if I belong in the family of God. Yes, you do. You've been adopted. You're all a part of the family. It's through the blood of Boaz, through the blood of Jesus, not Boaz, but the picture of Jesus, our kinsman redeemer that we're now taken in. And so no doubt Boaz had even more of a heart for Ruth because he realized, you know what? I know what it's like, Ruth. You know, I know what you're feeling. And you are loved and you are welcome. And I don't care how bad your background is. You've got a new home. And in this home, that's all gone. It's forgiven. We're starting over. It's new family, new life, new joy, and it's forever. And that's what God offers. That's what our Boaz, Jesus, offers. He says, now, it's true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night and in the morning. He's probably going, man, there's a relative closer. But, you know, he's a clever guy. And he's going to be, he knows how to run this guy out of town. We're going to see he does it. Stay this night. In the morning it shall be that he will perform the duty of a close relative for you. If he does that, good. Let him do it. If he'll marry you and be responsible, great. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Now lie down until morning. He's like, you know what? Doesn't sound like much of a duty to me. Now, I know it was a duty to do the right thing, but he's saying, this is a job. I get to marry a young, beautiful girl who's choosing me over all the other young guys, and I get to start over, and we get this. Are you kidding? As the Lord lives, this is going to happen, right? We're going to make this happen. And so this, again, just an amazing story. He says, now lie down until morning. He didn't want her going back at night. It wouldn't have been safe and all those things. He wanted her to just stay there until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning. She arose before one could recognize another. And he said, do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Now, nothing happened here and there was no sin involved. But again, this whole picture of Jesus to his church. He didn't want anyone to think that Ruth was not honorable. He didn't want Ruth to have any shame associated with what she'd done by coming to a man's place of rest that night to let herself know that she was available. So he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back while it's still dark because I don't want anybody to know you've been here because I want to protect your name and I want to honor your name. You're a virtuous woman. I want to keep it that way. And listen, that's what it's like with our Boaz with Jesus. See, when we come to the Lord, we have a lot of shame, don't we? I do. I did. I don't now. I had lots of shame. My past is riddled with shame. But when I came to Jesus and I fell at his feet and he said, you'll be mine now. He said, you know what? You're under my covering. Nobody's going to see that you've done anything wrong. It's wiped away. As far as I'm concerned, it's gone. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to be your shield. And these things that you've done in the past, they may really be there, but you know what? I've wiped your shame away. And you know what? I wish I hadn't done those things, but I don't feel the shame for those things anymore. They're gone. He's covered them. And now he says to Ruth, his Gentile bride, no, no, no. Nobody's going to say anything or think anything. You're clean. You're going to be my bride. And so nobody will know you came to the threshing floor at all. And he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley. Now, again, we talked last time about 27 pounds. This is like, this is like a little bit under 100 pounds, somewhere 90 pounds. I don't know how much he gave her. I don't know if she had a donkey or if she had a wagon or what she had. But can you imagine her going home after going to see Boaz that night? Boaz is making a statement. I'm giving a down payment. This is my new bride, and I'm going to give this down payment. And what is it? When we give our life to the Lord, what does he do? He gives gifts. He gives gifts. We're going to see on Sunday when the servant of Abraham goes back to find a bride. For Isaac, what happens? When she receives, yes, I'll be the bride. There's a whole picture of Jesus to the church in that. We'll talk about that Sunday. But the first thing he does is when the bride accepts, he starts giving her gifts. She gets all these bracelets and all these gifts, whatever. Now he gives this huge gift of wheat. That's all he had there with him at the field. But he was a very wealthy man. There's a lot more to come. This is a down payment. And so two things happen. Number one, she realizes, when she goes back home, Naomi's like, my goodness, what happened here? Again, the Gentile bride blessing the Jewish mother that felt abandoned. By the way, if you talk to the Jews today, they'll say, where was God during the Holocaust? Where was God when our husbands and sons were dying in Moab? Where was he? And all of a sudden, the Christians come in and go, we love you. Here's some wheat. Now, we don't say that, but you get the point. We bless them. And from all over the world, the Gentile bride is blessing Naomi from all over the world today. It's going on right now. And when all this blessing comes in, they may not believe in Jesus yet. They may not give their life to Jesus yet. But here's one thing the Jews know. They know the Christians love them. That is a large portion of the Christians. I know there's some elements of the church that are blinded and don't see that, but there's a large element and they recognize that. So they would see the blessing. But note this as well. Gifts. When we give our life to the Lord, one of the first things he does, he gives gifts to his bride. And even today, when you guys give your life to the Lord, what does the Bible say? The Father will give you gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, gift of prophecy, word of knowledge, teaching gift. All these different gifts. Why did God give you those gifts? You're his bride. You're going to be my bride. The wedding hadn't taken place till we get to heaven, but this is a down payment. You've been sealed. Here's all these gifts to prove that you belong to me. And so he still gives his Gentile bride today, us, his modern day Ruth, he gives us gifts when he finds us at his feet saying, I belong to you. He says, I'll take you in. And he blows us away. And here he just gives her 6 ephahs. I mean, again, there had to be some kind of donkey or some kind of transport that she took back. And I can just see her dumping this, there in the living room or something. And she said, my goodness, what happened tonight? The blessing that the Gentile bride is bringing to the nation. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? It's like, I know it's you, but what is this? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. I like this boy. He's a good boy. This is a good boy. Right? I love this. And she said, sit still, my daughter. Look, she knows them. When a man falls in love with a woman, you can't stop him. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. He's not going to stop. He loves you. He's got the bug has bitten him, and he loves you, and he can't believe that you want him to marry him. And this is great. This is God, and God's doing a redemptive thing. Of course, they see it on an earthly level, which is wonderful for them individually. But we see it on a spiritual level too, as well as what God is doing here. But he's going to get this resolved. And of course, Boaz doesn't waste any time. He gets up and he's hitting the road that next day. Look at chapter 4. And Boaz went out to the gate, and sat down there. Again, at the gate of the city, understand, this is where all the leaders would sit, and where all your modern-day city council, your mayor, and all the important people would sit there in the city gate, and you would pass all your legal cases there. So it was like a modern-day courtroom was the gate of the city. And they had all these seats. The way the gates were built, you'd go in, and they'd build these seats down the gate. And all the leaders would come in every day in the city, and they'd sit in these seats down the gate, and the people would come there and bring their cases, and they would resolve all the cases and all the issues. So Boaz is basically going to the municipal court downtown Knoxville to get the paperwork to marry Ruth. That's what's happening. And so he goes down there, to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz... close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by, and Boaz said, come aside, friend, and sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. This was the guy that was really the one that was in line before Boaz. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. And they all sat down. So now they're going to decide this court case. And he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back. In the presence of the inhabitants of the elders, my people. In other words, you're the next redeemer for the family to get their land back and all their belongings back because they lost it and he's dead. She didn't have the money to do it. If you'll redeem it, then redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it. And I'm next after you. In other words, if you're not going to, buy back the land from Elimelech and Naomi's family for them, then I'll buy it back. But notice he's holding something back here. He gives the carrot out there that the guy's going to like because, yeah, the guy could buy the property. It would be good land. He could increase his wealth, you know, get some real estate going. So, yeah, it sounds pretty good. But he's got a trump card hidden here. And notice he says, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Remember, you have to raise up a name to the husband that died, the sons that died, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. Now, you might think, well, why wouldn't he be interested? Ruth was a cutie, apparently. Well, here's the bottom line. Part of his inheritance would now go to Ruth and Naomi and be transferred over to another family. So it'd be like if you had a $50,000 inheritance, and somebody says, hey, you know, take this deal, whatever, and you can add that to it. Okay, yeah, but if you do that, then you've got to give $25,000 of it to that other family. You'd be going, oh, wait a minute now. Do I really want to make that decision? Because I got to think about my family that I currently have and my inheritance down the road, et cetera. And so now he drops this kind of, you know, bomb, if you were here, saying this. And notice when he says that, the close relative said, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself. I can't redeem it. This is where he says, and Boaz said, yes, and jumped in the air. No, it doesn't say that at all. I added that. But you know he's very excited right here. Now, this is interesting to me. Notice it says, now it was in the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redeeming or exchanging to confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the confirmation in Israel. Now, this had morphed into this. Here's what it was originally. Originally, the law said, if you would not marry someone's, okay, you got married, your brother marries a woman, he dies. The next one in line, your responsibility is to marry that woman and have a child and name it after your brother to carry on the family name. And again, so that's why the brothers were very interested in who they were, you know, who their wife was, you know. And so if she didn't look very healthy and they didn't think she was very attractive, okay, wait a minute, we got to talk about this because that could be my wife, so to speak, very soon if the brother wasn't healthy, so to speak. I mean, but, you know, anyway. So they had this real vested interest, and I'm making some jest of that, but in reality, they would have a vested interest in that. And so you would want to know who it was, what was happening, you know, what was the deal with all this stuff. So if they died, say the brother died, and then you refused to marry his wife, it was a real shame. You were culturally, it was against God's word, and culturally you were embarrassed, you were ashamed, you were basically refusing to walk in the shoes you were supposed to walk in, to be responsible for what you were supposed to be responsible for. You were dropping your responsibilities. And so it was something, and what they would do is you would come in front of the leaders of the city, and what would happen is you would have to take your shoe off and give it to the woman, and it meant basically, I'm not going to walk in my responsibilities. So I'm just saying, and I have to say it publicly, and she would spit in his face. I'm not going to give an example. She'd spit in his face. I almost messed up there. So she'd spit in his face, and then everybody realized this guy's shame. And then you were known from that point on, the one who basically got their face spit on and didn't have their, you know, took their shoe off because they didn't walk in the responsibilities God gave them. Now, it had softened up a little bit during this time. During the time of Judges, it wasn't quite as strict. It had softened up where now it was just kind of, all right, just take the shoe off. You're not being responsible. Everybody knows it. Yes, you should have done it, but it's not as bad in our eyes as it used to be. You know how different things change with different cultures. They didn't see it, but you take the shoe off, the same kind of thing representing you're not being responsible. And this was a confirmation. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, he hands his shoe and says, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife. I wonder if he's smiling at that time. To perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among the brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. You know, it's interesting. The Jews, which would have been the nearest kinsman before Boaz, Boaz was from Jericho, but this other family member no doubt was a full Jew, if you will, brought in or whatever. It's interesting that at this time, this Jewish representative, if you will, rejected the Gentile bride. Nope, that's a game changer. I don't want her. But Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer, said, great, I'll take her. The Jews have rejected the church right now. The church has been rejected, not in the sense of being mean to us. They love us. I mean, if we love them, we're nice to them. They're friendly to us. But they don't see the church as part of their family in God, so to speak. They see us as something that's an aberrant teaching from what their word teaches. And I think it's interesting, the whole picture here of the one rejecting the Gentile bride, but then Boaz saying, you know what? No, I'll take her. And what's interesting is there's some shame associated with that. And it's really a shame that the Jews have decided to reject their Messiah and turn away from him. And now reject the Gentile bride, if you will, almost as if the shoe has been removed and put on the other foot, so to speak. But again, now Ruth is all witnesses. Basically, this is legal. It's been done. It's finished. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel." Look, they begin to pronounce these blessings. I think this is so neat. They say, "Yes, she's yours." And now they just, as a community, start pronouncing blessings. I don't know if they did that for everybody or if that's just the Spirit of God moving them to pronounce these blessings. But he says, "Let them be like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel." That has had all the sons. The 12 tribes came from Rachel and Leah. "And may you prosper in Ephratah," that is Bethlehem, "and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez and Tamar of Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. So now the son's been raised up to carry on the family name. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel." As if God would say to the Jews today, "You've not been forgotten. You've not been forgotten. You're temporarily in the wilderness of Moab, and God's now bringing you back in 1948, reestablishing you as a nation, now drawing you back from all over the lands. God's now proposed to his Gentile bride, and through the Gentile bride, God is bringing in barley and wheat and all kinds of blessings into your life, and the two together now being restored back to our Savior, our Boaz, our Jesus. You've not been forgotten. It's just been a time of wilderness in a way because you rejected your Messiah, but you're being restored. May your name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you as we love the nation of Israel, who's better to you than seven sons, has borne him." How do you like that, ladies? He's better than seven sons, you know. Ruth is to you because of how she's blessed you. Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Now, again, I don't think she became a wet nurse. That is, she actually was able at her older age to actually nurse him. It could be possible, and maybe that happened. I think more than likely, or what it means is she became, you know, a nurse in the sense of raising him, loving him. This is a, you know, grandchild that she was raising, and grandma was very involved in the upbringing of this little guy. And also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. That's interesting. How often do your neighbors name your kids, you know? "Let's call him whatever." I don't know. You fill in the blank. "No, we'll name him. That's okay." But here they did that. Again, these are cultural things. They get involved, and the whole community would name kids and do things. It's a whole different, it's like a whole different country. I mean, it really is. Anyway. They called his name Obed. Now look at this line here. "He's the father of Jesse, the father of David." And remember who came through David? Jesus. Look who was in Jesus's genetic earthly bloodline. Rahab, the prostitute. Ruth, the Moabitess, foreigner brought in. All these things, again, just showing the grace and the love of the Lord in the line of Jesus. And this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Something fishy about that. Sorry. Not Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And so it works all the way from there, working all the way back, showing you how we got all the way up to David, who's the king of Israel. And now we'll get into 1 Samuel next time, which will get us eventually to David after we go through Saul and all the other things that happens there. But wow, what an amazing book, the book of Ruth. What love the Lord has for us, what riches from his word. Isn't it wonderful to be the Gentile bride who was a foreigner, who has now been brought in and joined and married and made one with the Lord? And we're being used in the process of restoring the original wife, if you will, all back to one in Boaz and to our Jesus and the Lord. What's it going to be like when the Lord comes back and all this is culminating, guys? What's it going to be like? It's going to be amazing. And it's just going to be the celebrations, the excitement, the joy. You know, again, whenever we go to Israel and I see the Jews, I always just think about that. I look at Naomi and think, you know what? You don't realize that I'm Ruth, you know, that I'm the Gentile bride. You don't realize, you know, what God is doing in us. But I'm going to love you, and I'm going to bless you anyway, and I'll be praying for you, and I'll be praying for Israel, and I'll be standing with you because that's what God tells me to do. And one day we're going to be one big happy family in the kingdom of God, and it's going to be an amazing, amazing day. And so, great. What a great night to have communion. As they come back to the house of bread, Bethlehem meaning house of bread. Now we get ready to go to the house of bread to break bread with our Boaz, our Jesus, who has brought us in as his bride and sealed us and given us gifts. And we'll even have a chance to use those gifts here during the afterglow and just give back to the Lord what he's given to us and just rejoice in our Lord. But let's pray and ask God just to seal these words in our heart and do what he wants in it. And then we're going to have communion. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And thank you, Lord, for your word and the richness of this whole story you've given us with Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. And Lord, the kinsman redeemer, our Goel, Jesus, who died for us and redeemed us by blood, a blood relative now through the cross, bringing the Jew and the Gentile together in one big family. Lord, your wife beforehand and now your bride in the church. And Lord, how you desire to take us, how you're excited, God, to see Boaz so excited to take his bride. What a picture I believe you're giving us of what you feel about us. I can't believe you'd be excited about me or about any of us in this room. What's exciting about us? God, we're guilty. We're sinners. We should be cast out. And yet we're brought in with rejoicing and celebration and excitement and eternal hope and joy with a very wealthy husband who lavishes on us for eternity and gives us more than we could ever dream or imagine in the new kingdom. How can we say thank you, Lord? We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray your blessing on your church. We pray your bride. We pray your blessing on the nation of Israel, your Naomi, whose name meant pleasant, but she went out, Lord, and became bitter. But then being restored by the blessing of you and the blessing of the church and watching you work, God. What a great God you are, Lord. How we look forward to the day we're going to be with you in the kingdom. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pour out your love on us. Thank you for taking us as your own. We say yes. We say, I do. I do, and I will. And we're yours. We belong to you, Lord. So tonight, Lord, as we get ready to take communion, get our hearts clean. Let us be pure before you because of what you, our kinsman redeemer, our blood relative through the cross, has done to buy us back and to make us his own. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and ask in Jesus' name.